Welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode 610. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamut.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Brian.
What's up,
brother? Did you know we have a website? Contextmachine.io?
Oh, hold on. Let me write that down.
Yeah.
Write that. Context. Dot.
Oh, come on. Where's the Foley artist? We need them.
I didn't have anything. I wasn't ready for that one, so I didn't have anything close.
Okay, hold on. So you're going to write it down again and then act like you're writing it.
Hold on. Let me write that down. Excellent. Oh, thank you, man. I've got that written down now. Thanks.
Excellent.
You can use contextmachine.io to reach out to the top men behind this show.
And our amazing Foley artist team.
Yes. You can also find us on post.news and Mastodon at Context Machine. On one of those, you'll have to search for us. But I think we'll have the links in the show notes.
We always have the links in the show notes.
Yeah, technically, we're still on Facebook. We still have our account on Twitter. We just don't use it. We're not paying attention to it either.
Right.
But you know what? Stick a note. Stick a link in the. Do you mind sticking a link in the show notes to that list of things that Elon Musk has said? I really said that.
Oh my God! Yes, I will do that.
To ElonMusk.today.
Yes.
Sort of tracking all the various things that he has said. That most of which have not actually come true or been accurate.
It's a fun little thing.
Yeah. Let's go with that. It's a fun little thing. Yeah. Okay. So, Jeff Gamut, was it?
Brian Chaffin?
Yeah. Hold on.
Chaffin?
Let me write that down.
Chaffin.
Yeah. Ichabod, very excited about someone outside. I'm sorry about that, folks.
That's all right. It's okay for Ichabod to be excited about the show. Cat is probably excited about the show as well, but since she is a cat, she will not show it.
Oh, yeah, of course. She may roll in it. If you sprinkle it with catnip.
Yeah. She's had catnip once. And okay, so what happened? I didn't buy it for her specifically because I'm like, I'm not going to be a pusher for my cat. I'm not her dealer.
Well, technically you
but
are. If she's going to get it, you're going to be the dealer. Anyway, sorry, that wasn't your point. Go ahead.
Right. So I didn't want to be an intentional dealer for my cat.
Got it.
But, This cat scratcher that I had bought for her, it had this little packet that had catnip in it. And so I put the whole thing together and I don't sprinkle the catnip where they say to do it. I just left the little package closed and I put it somewhere and then forgot where I had put it. And it's just gone out of my mind. And then like a month later, I come home and it looks like a bottle of oregano had exploded in the living room. And
happy fun time.
And my cat's tripping balls.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I don't know where I had put it, but it was someplace where it took her about a month and she found it and shredded the thing open. And so then I used my little robot vacuum to clean it up.
Yeah.
And I had a stoned cat and a stoned vacuum.
And no doubt she really loved the vacuum after that.
She has remained indifferent about the vacuum. Mm. Although it wouldn't surprise me if she now thinks that the vacuum will try and steal her drug stash.
Reasonable conclusion to reach, I suppose. You know what is a less reasonable conclusion to reach?
Do tell me, Brian, what?
like I know that you know where I'm going with this, but you're kind of wondering how it is that I'm going to get there with that introduction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to sit back and let you either make this shine or crash and burn.
Right. So what I don't really understand as reasonable is YouTube thinking that YouTube TV is worth $73 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. What's up with that?
That seems crazy. What's actually in YouTube TV these days?
It's a bunch of channels. Hence the TV part.
Yeah.
And just so everyone's clear on this, we're not talking about YouTube Premium, which is the thing you pay for that takes ads out of the YouTube videos that you're already watching and lets you download content. This is the thing where it's sort of like YouTube's version of cable television.
Right. So I'm looking at the included channels. You do get ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, as well as ABC News. You also get, I'm going to stick to the networks that I think are, you know, worthwhile. AMC, Adult Swim, Animal Planet, BBC America, and BBC World News, BET, so it's Bravo. More than 100
channels.
It is, and there are a lot of channels. This is probably a proper cable replacement. CNN, ESPN, and, you know, the Ocho as well. The Ocho! Fox, weather, great. Okay, fantastic. FX, well worth that. IFC, yep, good. Still going. We got the MSNBC, Motor Trend, MTV, you know, for all of your reality TV needs.
As opposed to your music videos.
Yes. NBC News, it looks like we have some sort of NBA station. National Geographic, Nat Geo Wild. These are good. Nickelodeon, kids will like that. And Stoned Adults, I'm thinking. Nick Jr., Nicktoons, Oprah Winfrey Network, Oxygen for, you know, the Lifetime fans, Paramount. That's probably important. PBS, that's important. Mm-hmm. TLC, almost done here. The CW, Travel Channel.
Did you catch Sci-Fi already?
Sci-Fi, I somehow passed over that. Sundance TV, Smithsonian Network, more, so SEC, ESPN, The Nueve, USA, Univision, VH1, The Weather Channel, and We, and then do they not do Fox News? Yeah, look, there's Fox News. And Disney. Oh, and Disney. The Disney Channel, not Disney Plus. So it is that is
important distinction.
That is a proper cable replacement. And I guess it is probably, is it cheaper though? Then, like, you probably do get more than like a basic package from Comcast on there. So what I use for my cable TV replacement, because I do not currently have cable TV, is I'm using Philo. And I'm paying $20 bucks a month for Philo. It's Philo. And that's, let's see how much Philo is. It's philo.com, philo.com. I'll send you the link, Jeff, for the show notes. $25 cool. a month. I think I'm grandfathered in for $20 a month currently. You can do a 7-day trial. You get 70 channels, but you're not getting any of you're not getting ABC, NBC, the local, you know, like the local main networks. I don't even know what do we call those. There's a name for it. But ABC, NBC, Fox,
Studios,
the old school channels.
Yeah, those are networks.
Networks, great. Let's call it that. And you're not getting any local news. You're not getting CNN. You do get BBC News, and you get it really works for me because I get Science, Discovery, History, Travel Channel.
And so you can watch all the reality shows.
So I can watch the science shows mostly, and the gold mining shows. Fine, the ghost hunting shows too. Fine. But I don't get sci-fi. I don't get FX. I don't get USA. I don't know. But it's also, it's $20 a month of stuff. And that works for me, for my personal taste.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, $73 a month, that just seems high. That it's $73 a month. I'm starting to think about, you know, shelling out for a cable subscription.
Yeah, with the cable subscription, you're getting cable, so you're watching content without it counting against your data cap. Mm-hmm. And when you're buying a cable package, it's going to include streaming as well.
Yeah.
So you can watch your home, the content you would see at home on the go.
Right. Yeah. $73 a month. That seems really high. I mean, like, everybody is jacking up the prices. Didn't Apple raise the price of Apple TV Plus?
They did. They went from $4.99 to $6.99.
Which is, you know, still on the probably cheaper side at this point.
Absolutely. Now, the percentage-wise, that was a shockingly large increase. But when you look at it in perspective for how much you were paying before versus now, you know, it's $2 a month.
Right. In absolute terms, it's still relatively little. And Apple has a lot less overall content than almost every other streaming service out there.
That's true.
One could add that Apple probably has a much higher percentage of quality content.
It's like you're reading my mind.
Dollar for dollar, I think Apple TV Plus is a no-brainer for me because of you know, there are a handful of shows that you have to watch. By the way, Dave Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
a former partner at the Mac Observer.
And current friend.
Current friend and the co-host of the Mac Geek Gab. He went mm-hmm. to South by Southwest, where he saw the Tetris movie.
Oh, I am so looking forward to seeing the Tetris movie.
He could not shut his mouth about that movie.
Wow.
He said, I'm not going to say that it ended the Cold War, but ... And he said that he thinks it's going to be a really big deal, that it's a fantastic movie, and that it's going to be a really, really big deal. And he truly, truly was excited about it. And Dave likes programming. He likes good movies. We've had many a conversation over the decades about, you know, great movies and great TV shows. I don't know that I've often seen him as excited about any given movie as he was about this Tetris film.
That says a lot right there.
And it's just
watching the trailer, I can't wait for this to show up.
Tell us what the movie is, as opposed to just the Tetris movie, which is all I kept saying.
So the story behind how the Tetris video game really became a phenomenon is a fascinating story that you would think was crafted out of someone's imagination, and yet it's a real story. It involves having to actually go to what at the time was the Soviet Union to try and negotiate a deal to get this game, because Nintendo wanted it on the Game Boy.
The Game Boy, right. Yeah. So it was the story of the process necessary to get the rights to Tetris, which had heretofore been only in a stand-up arcade game, onto mm-hmm. the Game Boy.
And it's an absolutely insane story.
Yeah. So anyway, things like that, the Slow Horses in, you know, in C and Mythic Quest and Ted Lasso.
Severance.
Severance. And other shows that I'm for some reason not thinking of at the moment, because, you know, we did our usual prep work.
For All Mankind. I'm suddenly drawing blanks on names now. Foundation. Holy crap. Foundation was done really well. Anything else?
Well, there's Shrinking. I've been watching Shrinking, but I don't love Shrinking.
I've had a lot of people tell me that Shrinking is really good and I need to be watching it.
You know, let me tell you my problem with Shrinking. Did you watch the Courtney Cox show? What was the show that was on for about 5 years? Courtney Cox TV series.
Oh, yeah, I did not see that. I didn't even know if there was such a show. I'm out of the loop.
Cougar Town was you know, a cute show. It was good, but it was like this relentless banter. Just relentless banter. And Shrinking has the beauty of not only having Jason Segel and
Harrison Ford,
which is Harrison Ford in particular was why I was watching it. The whole cast is fantastic in Shrinking, but it has that sort of pacing that Cougar Town had, and the relentless banter aspect of it. I like it. I watch it. I make a point of watching it, but I don't love it.
Okay. How do you feel about Hello Tomorrow?
Hello Tomorrow. I want to love it more than I do. How's that?
That's great. And that was totally a setup question because I already knew how you felt about because we discussed it some on last week's show, and I better make a note to include a link to last week's show so it's easier for people to find.
Yes. Oh, Ghosted, by the way. Ghosted is coming. I just saw this for the first time today. It stars Chris Evans, whom I have a complete and total man crush on, as well as Ana de Armas, whom I adore beyond all reasonable measures. Oh, and Adrian Brody's in it, too. Salt of the Earth Cole falls head over heels for enigmatic Sadie. So that would be Chris Evans and Ana de Armas. But then...
Oh, wait. So Amy Sedaris isn't the love interest in this?
Ana de Armas
instead of Amy Sedaris.
Correct.
I mean, they're both in it, so you can understand I was confused.
Is Amy Sedaris in it? Yes. Oh, yeah. Look at that. There she is. Awesome. I love her.
See?
Yeah, she's fantastic. Now, Ana de Armas is the one that I adore beyond all reasonable measure. Salt of the Earth Cole falls head over heels for enigmatic Sadie, but then makes the shocking discovery that she's a secret agent. Before they can decide on a second date, Cole and Sadie are swept away on an international adventure to save the world. Hell yeah, sign me up. I am here for that. And it's coming April 21st, and I just saw this for the first time today. It's called Ghosted.
I will check out the trailer for it after we finish recording.
I haven't even seen the trailer for it. I'm like Chris Evans and Ana de Armas. I'm like there. The Chris Evans' other Apple TV show, Defending Jacob, great show.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed it. Although the character of his wife, I found very frustrating as a viewer.
Is there any possibility that's intentional?
I don't know. Maybe. It's possible. But Defending Jacob is a really good series, but it's probably not a great series.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I will watch the next season.
It's a well-done series.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's not the most well done on Apple TV Plus.
No, it's not. Schmigadoon was brilliant, and Schmigadoon season 2 is coming. Actually, I think they're calling it Schmigadoon 2. That's coming. That's fantastic. I never watched Acapulco. I haven't watched. There's a whole bunch of it's funny. There's a whole bunch of shows at this point that I haven't watched. I think that The Problem with Jon Stewart is a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched that?
I've watched pieces of it. And which is funny, why am I not watching the entire thing? Because every segment that I have watched, I have absolutely loved.
Yeah, make a point of watching it, in my opinion. Shantaram seems really interesting, but I haven't watched that. Path to Paradise looks good, but I haven't watched that. Making Monsters, I don't even know what that is. Like, there's a whole bunch of content at this point. So, yeah, we were just sort of dinging Apple. I was dinging Apple, at the very least, for not having as much programming as other streaming services. But they have been relentlessly steady.
They have been.
In adding new content.
Yeah. And of course, they didn't have as much content as the other services in the beginning, because they didn't have a back catalog that.
Yeah, that they made the decision not to do that.
Right. But yeah, I mean, if you scroll through the list of shows and movies that they have original content, there's a lot of stuff now.
That Beastie Boys self-made documentary was fantastic.
I have not watched it yet.
Spike Jonze directed and, you know, put together and everything, made with the two surviving Beastie Boys, telling the story of the Beastie Boys. And it was a very, it felt to me, I wasn't there, it turns out, so I don't actually know, but it felt like a very honest self-look. Like, I felt like they were honest about, like, the bad things. I mean, I guess, okay. I guess I don't know what they didn't show for sure, but that's absolutely fantastic. If you haven't watched the Beastie, but what's it called even? Beastie Boys story. Yeah. Movie still on Apple TV Plus. Good. Yeah. Absolutely watch the Beastie Boys story, man. It's so good. Spike Jonze live documentary. A lot of it is filmed on stage. So they're presenting a lot of the story on stage. And whenever they go to like a video clip, most of the time they'll actually cut to the video clip. But for the live audience that was there was seeing that part on a screen behind them.
Okay.
Cool. So good, man. So, so good. You got to watch that.
Cool.
Like, I want to watch it again.
I'm loving that there's all of this great content that we're getting excited about. And in comparison, there's YouTube TV and what we come down to with that is, well, if I'm going to have that, I might as well just buy cable TV.
Yeah. $73 a month just feels like a lot.
Yeah.
Really, really does. Okay. I mean, that said, man, that said, they have a lot more than Philo. Like, for instance, I have, especially during the election, for instance, during the 2022 election, during the 2020 election, I was able to catch some stuff because I was able to tune in CNN on CNN.com or the CNN channel because they were allowing non-subscribers to see more. But I didn't have a local news channel that I could watch. The BBC News is the only news channel. And that's not that's not a U.S. news channel replacement. I had a point.
True.
I don't know what my point was, but I had a point. The point is that Philo doesn't have a lot of stuff that YouTube TV does have, but $25 a month compared to $73 a month, that is a significant delta.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not worth, I don't know, maybe I am saying, it feels like a lot, but maybe it's worth it because of all those channels that you're getting. And those channels do cost money. Like, the cable providers and streaming providers are paying for each of the channels that they're giving you access to.
You know, I would be more tolerant of that price point if it included NFL Sunday Ticket, which I believe is an add-on purchase to that.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of add-on. There are a ton of add-on purchases.
Now, to be clear, I'm saying that not as someone that that watches American football, but as someone that understands that the whole NFL thing becomes its own separate mess to have to work through as far as licensing goes.
Yeah, same thing with Major League Baseball as well as the NBA and hockey, I'm sure, and golf. Actually, I think the golf channel is on included in.
Don't you have to pay extra for them to take it out?
I see what you did there. But, you know, to people who watch that stuff, it's important. To sports people, sports is important. Breaking news.
Hold on. You're going to have to write that this down.
Yeah.
Sports stuff is important to people that like sports.
Yep. Underline. Yeah, you heard it here first. You heard it here first. And YouTube TV also does include YouTube Originals, which is the original content that YouTube is bringing to market, similar to Apple TV Plus, although not similar to Apple TV Plus.
Man, people, if you weren't following closely to what Brian just said, it did not track, and you're going to have to back up like 15 seconds and listen to that sentence again.
Yeah, but if you know me, you know you get it. If you get it, you get it for sure.
Right.
There are other streaming services competing sort of at the Philo end of the brand. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, going for and 75 or 65 to 73, that feels like $8 a month feels like a pretty steep. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have subscribed to, you know, well, DirecTV was probably my favorite subscription or favorite cable type service before AT&T bought it and ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also given lots of money to Comcast. Comcast is my current cable, my current internet provider too. And they have this nasty thing on the TV side of like having constant creep in terms of what you're paying.
Yeah, that sucks.
And I don't think that YouTube TV has done the constant creep, but an $8 jump feels significant.
Well, okay, question that neither of us can probably answer.
Yeah.
Is this price increase because they have to or because they can? If it's have to, that would mean that the content providers have raised the prices that YouTube is having to pay for licensing.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, that gets passed on to us.
Haven't you or seen prices do they
just,
at the pump?
They, or are they just raising it?
Haven't you seen ever, you know? Everything is more expensive. Gas is more. Of course, they got to charge more.
Yeah.
Are you really going to let that pass? I don't think the price of gas is any excuse to raise the price of cable. We know that it's, corporate.
I was letting it sit there. Okay, Brian, I have a confession.
Yeah.
I didn't respond because I felt like it would be a potential trigger for you. Because I wasn't responding.
Well, fair enough. Thanks.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So I was seriously going to say, now I lost my thought. Oh, my goodness.
But seriously,
corporate profits.
The price of gas going up.
Stop.
Go ahead.
Corporate profits are like at an all-time high. The cover of inflation has been used to jack up prices everywhere, driving inflation higher. While significantly increasing corporate profits. This is a mathematical and economic fact. Various CEOs have been talking about this in their quarterly conference calls with analysts. So this is, you know, not a conspiracy, not some kind of like lefty dark take on what's happening. Corporate profits right now are definitely way higher because the companies have been jacking up prices for just about everything under the guise of dealing with inflation. And it is conceivable that YouTube TV is doing the same thing, but all of the streaming services have been steadily ratcheting up their prices.
Yeah.
Like didn't Disney Plus start off at $9.99? It was $9.99. I'm almost positive it was $9.99. So what is it currently? I am looking. Get them both. Give me the price. There we go. There's a Duo Basic with ads. So I can pay $10 a month and get freaking ads.
Man, that just chafes me. Let me pay you for your streaming service and then also pay for the privilege to watch advertisements. No.
So then there's Trio Basic, which is Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus for $13 a month with ads. And then Trio Premium, which is Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus with no ads on Disney Plus and Hulu, but I guess apparently ads on ESPN Plus for $20 a month. That's actually the bundle. What about non-bundling? Disney Plus. Can you look up Netflix pricing while we're?
I can do that. Netflix.
While I'm doing this, Disney Plus subscribe now. They really want to bundle this stuff up. Of course, not surprising.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I have a little toggle switch. Disney Plus $7.99 a month with ads, $10.99 a month with no ads for Disney Plus.
Okay,
that is less. I actually thought it was $15 a month at this point.
Well, that would be Netflix. So, their basic plan is $9.99 a month, and that's unlimited, ad free, and one device at a time, HD, and then standard is unlimited, ad-free, watch on two supported devices at once, watch in full HD. I don't know what the difference between HD and full HD is. And then you can download to two devices.
And 1080p? And again, I need 4K. Is there 4K pricing?
Yep. And if you want to go up to, they call it Ultra HD, and that's $20 a month.
Mm.
So, yeah, so $9.99, $15.49, $19.99.
Right. So, everybody is getting more expensive. I know Hulu's been going up. I know that Paramount Plus has been ratcheting up. So, YouTube TV is not alone. YouTube TV does not compare. If you're going to compare YouTube TV to anything, it should be to a satellite service or, Comcast or Time Warner or...
I agree. I think that's the market that YouTube TV is going up against.
Yeah. It's just, streaming instead of a dedicated wire coming into your house.
Yeah.
So
what I'm hearing is neither of us are signing up for YouTube TV.
No, I'm not. I did look at it, when I was trying to figure out what I was going to replace. So I was doing DirecTV's, which became AT&T Now Live Plus Action or something. I don't know, it had some ridiculous name. AT&T basically took the DirecTV service and started rebranding stuff and messing with how it was done. I was using their streaming service as a cable replacement, and they screwed me with a grandfathered pricing plan that, and I ended up missing a payment because I didn't realize that something had changed. I had a credit card expire.
Yeah, that would be a thing.
I got a new credit card and I didn't update it, and I did not see their notifications, if assuming they sent them to me, and then they would not reinstate my grandfathered pricing. So I just canceled.
Lame.
Yeah, I thought it was lame. Oh, and I couldn't get. Oh, that was the thing. I could get. There were channels. That was actually. Wasn't the pricing. There were channels that I could no longer get. Had my service not expired, I could have still gotten those channels. But okay. They would not give me the channels with whatever package was available when I was trying to reinstate my service.
So,
but if I hadn't lost my service, I would have still had access to those channels. Is that Does that not sound like insanity?
Yeah, it sounds like a great way to tell customers you don't want them anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, I left them and I looked at a lot of things. I looked at YouTube TV. I looked at YouTube. I looked at Philo. There was a couple of other services that I can't remember the names of at this point. Ended up going with Philo because it had the kinds of things that I like to have on in the background. And all the umpteen streaming services that I also subscribe to have most of the original content that I want to watch.
All right, there you go. And yeah, for me, it's a handful of streaming services, and that's it. Because the content that I want is so focused that a regular package is mostly wasted on me.
Yeah, that's fair. And I know that one reason why a lot of these prices are going up is because these companies are in fact spending more money on more content. Like, I mean, what was that Apple news?
Apple is increasing their spending for movies for Apple TV Plus to $1 billion annually. So that's $1 billion focused just on movies.
And that was an article by our good friend Andrew Orr.
No, it was not. Well,
he did the AirTag story. He did the AirTag story we talked about.
Yeah. So this is a Bloomberg story.
A Bloomberg story. Mark Gurman story?
It probably is. Hold on. I can actually check because I do have that kind of technology.
Mm. You're a wizard.
Let's see. No, Thomas Buckley and Lucas Shaw.
Oh, okay. So Apple is the news there. Like, we know that Apple was already spending more than $1 billion on its content, but that includes all the TV shows that it buys.
This is $1 million just on movies.
And they're also looking to move more of their movies to, I'm assuming, a simultaneous theater release?
Maybe. But definitely theatrical releases. So Apple wants to have a wider footprint in theatrical releases than they currently have. So they've done with some of their movies, just like other streaming services, where they do limited runs so that they meet the requirements for Oscar nominations.
Oh, of course.
Oh. Yeah,
that's why they're doing that. That makes sense.
So, but now they want to start doing wider releases.
And companies like Netflix, I think, have actually cut shows that they're doing, but they've also lost subscribers.
Yeah, Netflix, they have the two-season thing where it doesn't matter what the status of your show is. After about two seasons, it's probably getting axed. Because the first two seasons are the ones where they're likely to have a higher viewership. In season three, that's when it starts to taper off some. So they just axe the shows.
Yeah,
move on to something else.
Super annoying. And at least in my
opinion. I agree.
So there is some expenditures behind a lot of these increases. Do you think Apple's making money on Apple TV Plus yet? I find it hard to believe.
I don't know. When TV you take into account, well,
subscribers,
I honestly don't know.
Let's see if we can't find some information.
And their theatrical releases, there haven't been that many. So, I mean, the revenue from that would go back into their whole entertainment revenue pool. But I don't think that there's been enough of that to have that significant of an impact.
Yeah. So cordcuttersnews.com reported in January of this year that Apple had 25 million paid Apple TV Plus subscribers and another 50 million on free promotions. So what's 25 million times six? Is that 300 million bucks? No, it's $150 million a month. Yeah.
That's, I mean,
25.
That's significant money.
Times 599. That's 699. So 150. It's actually 175. 175 million a month. 175 times 12. 2.1 billion a year. There's no way they're making a profit on Apple TV Plus yet. Maybe if you count profits from sales of the Apple TV hardware device. Maybe.
I don't think they sell that many Apple TV
devices. I don't think they do either.
Devices.
So yeah, and this was a January story that they shuffled leadership. They didn't get rid of Zach, did they? Did we miss that? From the website, Statista, Apple is 25 million paid, blah, blah. Many have wondered how long the description has been taken.
Released. I didn't know anything about shuffling around management.
Many have wondered. Business Insider, Apple has changed the leadership of Apple TV Plus by putting VP of Apple Music, Oliver Schuster, in charge of the Apple TV Plus service. Really?
Oh, okay.
Really? What happened to Zach and why isn't this article even talking about those guys?
I think that's different. So they're probably Zach and now you made me forget his name. They're probably reporting to him.
Or
because their job was to actually oversee all the stuff, you know, buying shows and movies and making those deals happen.
Yeah, Business Insider has this article behind a paywall. Ken, not getting the details there.
We're making sausage right here, live on the air, people.
All right. So long story short is that stuff's getting more expensive. YouTube TV is, I think, curiously expensive. But they do have stuff that you're not going to get elsewhere. That actually may be one of the most inclusive streaming cable replacements.
Huh.
Because you're getting the local networks and some news channels too. And those are some of the most expensive properties. For cable services to pay for.
Okay. So I mean, still a lot of money every month. And to me, it feels like it goes against the idea of what people wanted with streaming services, which is a way to have content without having to pay the same prices that they were paying for their cable TV package.
Yeah.
And if you're paying $73 a month, you're basically back in that same space.
Yeah, you are back in that same space with, I suspect, slightly less reliability.
And don't forget, you have to add in the cost of your broadband on top of that.
Right.
Whereas if you're getting a cable TV package, say with Comcast, then the cost of broadband is rolled into that too.
Not always. Can be, though.
How funny. It hadn't even occurred to me that someone would be getting cable television at this point without getting the broadband to go along with it.
Well, for instance, there was a point where I was doing Comcast internet because that was all I had access to, but I was doing DirecTV for TV.
Yeah. Places that have municipal broadband. Sure. You would get your TV stuff independently of your cable.
Sure.
Yeah. Where I am in Boulder, there just aren't that many options.
I'm actually kind of really curious. Before we go here, I'm kind of curious as to this management story.
What are you paying for a subscription just so you can read this the one story?
No, I am not. No, Zach Van Amberg and Jamie Ehrlich are both still there.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because I think they've done an amazing job. I think they were.
I agree.
You know, I was thinking about Tim Cook, by the way. We'll throw a little tech into our show.
Oh. Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
I was thinking about Tim Cook versus Steve Jobs.
Okay.
And Steve, you know, we over the years, we've talked about the ways in which these are very different leaders. And we have talked about how, at least I've made the argument, I can't remember if you agreed or if we even directly talked about it, you and I, but I've made the argument that Tim Cook may well have been the only person who could have taken over from Steve Jobs, because, you know, he had the ability to not try to be slavish in his devotion to Steve, while also not needing to change everything just to say, I'm not Steve, this is mine, right? He didn't need to do that. Like he has run Apple for Apple and not for Tim Cook.
That's a really good way to put it. Yeah.
And we also know that Steve Jobs is part of his brilliance is his, you know, grasp of what's good and what's not good. Mm-hmm. And as well as his ability to pay attention to that, you know, 5% that most companies don't even know exist in terms of, like, you know, quality and finishes and the little touches.
Mm-hmm.
And his, you know, unwillingness to accept that 5% as not being beautiful and good, right? And that's not Tim Cook. That's not his gift. I think one of Tim Cook's gifts, in addition to this ability to run Apple for Apple and not for Tim Cook, is his ability to find people who have good taste and let them do what they do.
Yes. Yes.
And Jamie Ehrlich and Zach, like, you know, do you like how I'm like using those now as if like I've, you know,
been as aware if you of them. Knew that if you remembered the names all along,
yeah, all along. And I've struggled to remember their names for years now. Anyway. So yeah, you know, Zach Van Amberg and Jamie Ehrlich, I think are two examples, where that is supremely the case. You know, these two guys, I think, have done an amazing job with the content on Apple TV Plus.
I agree. They absolutely have.
If John Keat is listening to this episode, can you just imagine the things that he has been yelling at his speaker?
Oh, yeah, it's epic. It's awesome. Love you, John.
I'm going to make sure he knows that he got mentioned in this so that he can, you know, I mean, what it's the gift, giving John the opportunity to rage. It's like the greatest gift you can give that man.
You know, it really is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I was thinking about Tim Cook, and I was thinking about the fact that, while I, you know, I don't think there's any one person that comes even close to filling or even trying to fill Steve Jobs' shoes.
I think that would be a bad business move to try and do that.
Correct.
But yeah.
An impossible business move too. That, like, the people, the persons, because there's, you know, not many of them who could have played the same role at Apple as Steve Jobs would all want to make Apple very different. Which is fine, I guess. But, you know, I happen to like my Macs, and I happen to like my iPhones and my iPads. I happen to like Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, overall, I'm happy with my Apple products. And I'll probably never buy another pair of AirPods again after the debacle with the crackly sound in AirPods Pro.
I haven't experienced that.
So AirPods Pro, there's a known problem where you get this kind of buzzy, crackly sound happening when you're using the microphone on the AirPods Pro. And I have not experienced doesn't happen. That. Oh, well, great. And not everyone does. But for the people that do, Apple has a swap out program. So you take your AirPods in to the Genius Bar, they run a diagnostic test on them, and then they say, yes, your AirPods have the problem. Here's a replacement AirPods to pop in your case, and off you go. And so they did that for me. And then my new AirPods started doing the problem again. And so I went back in and they ran the diagnostics and like, yes, your AirPods absolutely have the problem and we're not going to replace them. Mm. And it's because they have a window where it's like, It's a couple years or something, maybe 3 years after initial purchase. They won't, even though they know the AirPods are defective, they just simply won't replace them anymore.
Oh, that's lame. But I have a question.
Totally lame.
If I haven't experienced this, why are you concerned about it?
No, I'm telling you. Oh, that's a really good point. Why am I concerned about it? That's a really good point. I am so sorry. So ridiculous. I can't believe I let
I wasn't aware of that. I'm very, very sorry that you experienced it. I don't blame you for no longer wanting to get AirPods of any sort. I have thoroughly enjoyed my AirPods Pro and my AirPods Max.
Well, to be fair, Apple knows that those are yours.
Yeah, that's true.
So they make sure there's not a problem. Whereas for the rest of us, they're like, yeah, you're not Brent Chaffin. We don't care. This happens to me everywhere. Like I'll be in line and someone will cut in front of me and I'll say, hey, you can't do that. Uh-huh. And let's say, why not? You're not Brent Chaffin.
Yeah, right.
And they've got me. It's like, okay, I guess so, you cut in line and you get to.
Log the stock and barrel or something. I don't know. Open and shut case. That's what I'm trying to say.
Locked, stock, and barrel, open and shut case.
You know, I get those two mixed up all the time.
I mean, I can see why.
Hey, let's stick this short description of Apple into the title so that we can pretend that we're talking about Apple some still.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But we can absolutely do that.
Excellent. All right. On that note, Mr. What's your name? Whatever.
I'm the guy that's not Brian.
Okay, not Brian. That's good enough. That is this week's Context Machine. We thank you very much. If you have anything to comment on that or question, write us at contextmachine.io. You can find us on Post and Mastodon at GeekTales and at JGamut. Is that right?
That is correct.
And you can find the show at Context Machine. That's how we roll. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom. Dr. Boom even recorded just for us. And I guess that's it. Jeff, that's this week's show.
Yeah, it's great being here at, you know, the Brian and not Brian show.
If I'm not experiencing this, why are you concerned?
How do you have friends?
I don't know.